All right, it's good to see all of you tonight to our Wednesday night Bible study. And if you didn't watch last week that we dealt with, the signs and wonders and all that kind of stuff, try to do that if you can, because some of this may not make sense. It's where it's supposed to go together. So tonight, let's look at, I want to build some definitions and just study the Bible for a second. So let's go and let's look at, let me look at Mark 16 again. And I'm going to have it on the screen there for you to make it easy. I'll tell you what, let's do this first. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. All right, the Jews require a sign. What that means from last week, the Jews have to see it. They have to see it before they believe it. Thomas, upper room, he says, unless I see it, I won't believe. Jews require a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. What was the verse, for we walk by faith and not by sight? That was Romans, let's see where I got it. Oh, no, 2 Corinthians. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So we don't have to see it. We believe it by the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Jews require a sign. They have to see it. Now, I'm repeating that for a reason. Now, let's go and let's look at, Mark 16. Where did those verses go? I'm trying to find it so you don't have to turn to it just to make it a little faster. Mark 16. I maybe didn't even have it on here. Probably. All right, Mark. Here we go. Mark 16. And here's verse 15. But he said unto them, Jesus talking to the disciples, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? Now here's why these verses are so confusing to people. And these signs, who requires a sign? The Jews require a sign. And these signs, because he's talking to Jews, Jewish disciples, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Okay? I want to find out what that new tongue is. So, in the Bible, if you want a Bible definition, you go to the first place where that word is used, and it'll give you a Bible definition for the rest of the Bible. It'll set the stage for the rest of the Bible. So the first time the word tongue is used is found in the book of Genesis. Let me show you this. In Genesis chapter number 10 and verse 5. Here it is. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. Everyone after his what? Tongue. After their families in their nations. Now, just by definition, what is their tongue? Their language. What they speak. English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Russian, whatever. He divided the isles, the Gentiles, divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue. All right? Now, here's another one. Genesis 10, verse 20, same chapter, verse 20. These are the sons of Ham. That's one of Noah's sons. After their families, after their tongues, in their countries, in their nations. Language, okay? Here's another one, verse 31, same chapter. These are the sons of Shem. There's another son of Noah. After their family, after their tongues, in their land, after their nations. Tongues are a language. Okay? It's a language. Now, I'm building something here. So then you go, and then you look at Mark 16 and verse 15. He said to the disciples, Jews require a sign. So he said unto the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel, everybody in the whole world don't speak the same language. So if he told the disciples to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, they're going to have to know how to speak in new tongues. Are you with me? It's not some mumbo-jumbo, jibber-jabber, whatever. You with me? And I'm trying to be respectful because I love all my friends that, you know, and they have a hard time. They believe what the preacher said and not what that Bible says. There's a big difference. Because I don't want you, if I can't show you a verse, then I don't want you to believe me either. He said to them, go ye all the world, preach the gospel. So if they're going to all the world, somehow or another, they're going to have to be able to speak with these new tongues. All right? Same, Mark 16. And then the last verse is what he said. And they went forth, these Jewish disciples went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with what? Signs following. So these disciples didn't have a Bible when they went into all the world and preached the gospel. So they go into all the world. They didn't go to a congregation meeting outside and said, hey, I want y'all to take your Bible and I want you to look at John 3:16. There was no John 3:16 written on paper when these disciples went into all the world. So Jews require what? They have to see it. They have to see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Jews require a sign. They have to see it. So these Jews, when they went and preached, they didn't have a Bible. So confirming the word, they cast out devils. They healed the sick. Y'all with me? They performed so the Jews would see it. They spoke with new tongues because wherever they went had to be able to understand them. Now, with all of that said, now let's look at, let's go to the book of Acts. Now, I didn't have these verses up there because we're going to look at a bunch of verses in Acts. And so you'll just have to turn to it. Acts chapter 1. Now, on your way to Acts chapter number 1, let me do some review right here. 1 Corinthians 1:22, Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, watch this. 1 Corinthians 14:22, for tongues are for a who? Who requires a sign? The Jews. Tongues are for a what? And who requires it? So tongues are for, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Look at there. Isn't that something? Interesting. Just by comparing the Bible. Listen, I have not said anything. I have not made you believe anything. I started doing a double negative right there, but y'all would have thought I failed out of school. And then I turned around and said, I ain't. I've not made you believe anything. I've showed you the Bible and let the Bible define itself. That's how you do it. I'm comparing two verses out of the Bible. 1:22, Jews require a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. 14:22, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So on and so forth. Okay? Now, now let's look at Acts 1 and verse number 8. Let's see, verse number 8, here we go. But ye shall receive power, Jesus talking to these same disciples, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, so they're fixing to do the same thing. He said in Acts 1:8 the same thing he said in Mark 16. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. And then he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you do that. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes upon you, you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, all over the world. Okay? Now, here's something. Let's see. I need to draw your attention to. There's so much right here that I need to say. Okay. Watch this verse. Matthew 3. John is baptizing Jesus. Y'all remember that story without reading the whole chapter? John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's what John was doing. But he, Jesus, that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Now, how many of y'all have ever heard that you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of fire? Okay, let's look at the definition. Don't stop right there. You've got to read the next verse. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus now, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now watch this, the next verse. Whose fan is in his hand. A fan is, you ever seen anybody when they're trying to start a fire, they'll fan it or blow on it to make it get bigger? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, if he burns up the chaff with unquenchable fire, that doesn't sound like something I want. So, I don't think I want the baptism of fire. You're saying, okay, then explain. Because I've always heard when I watch them little TV preachers and they got a big crowd, a big congregation out there, and they got a jet and a big house and three cars, they always say, come down here up front and receive the baptism of fire. They must be telling the truth. Well, I got news for you. What you say? All right, how are you going to explain this? I'm going to tell you. When Jesus comes, if you receive him, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. If you do not accept him, he will baptize you with fire, and guess where that's at? In hell. You don't want it. I saw one. Never mind. That might offend you, because that might be your favorite TV preacher. But you don't want the baptism of fire. I'm telling you. Because if you accept Jesus Christ, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, fix and prove the point. Now, you're still in Acts, okay? Look at Acts chapter number 1. You should be already there because we read verse 8. But I want you to look at here. Let's see, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Do you see anything that's left out? The baptism of fire. Why? Because them disciples are going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not the baptism of fire. Y'all see that? If that baptism of fire was a part of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, he would have added it right here and says, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, not many days since. You see? Now, all right. I wanted to clear that up. Okay, look at chapter 2. Boy, oh boy. Chapter 2. My goodness. All the stuff that goes on in chapter 2. Now, all we're going to do tonight is read the Bible. We're going to read the Bible. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2. We got to figure out this tongue stuff. Because if it's something I need, then I need it. And if it ain't something I need, I don't need it. Right? Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. It was a Honda or something. Oh, it's a slow crowd tonight. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Okay? Verse 1, day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. on the day of Pentecost, this happened every year. This ain't the first time it's ever happened. The day of Pentecost now. This is the first time the Holy Spirit came down. But in Acts chapter 2, this ain't the first day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost happened all through the Old Testament, all the way through to the New Testament. It's a Jewish holiday that happens every year in June that every Jew still worships today, celebrates today. Day of Pentecost. What happens is it's in Jerusalem. So what happens on this particular day, day of Pentecost, all Jews scattered abroad from all over the place come make a trip to Jerusalem, because that's a big day. Everybody's going to be in Jerusalem that day. It's a big day. It's a holiday. Okay? You say, can you prove it? Yep. Here in a minute. Verse 2. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, we have to read every word. There was no wind that came in the room. The curtains wasn't blowing. Okay? People's hair wasn't blowing back. Do you see? The sound came in the room like, or what is it? Maybe I said it. It says as, excuse me. As a mighty rushing wind. So whatever the sound was, you know, whatever it was. There was no wind. It was just the sound of it. Y'all with me? As. Notice as. If I was to get on top of this building and I jumped off and y'all would look at me and y'all would say, Brother Jeremy fell off this building like a rock. That don't mean I turned into a rock on the way down. It was like one. As one. Like an as. Similes. Okay? All right. And it filled, the sound filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Now, there wasn't any wind in the room. The curtains wasn't blowing. There were no fire in the room. Did y'all see that? Like as fire. There's a difference. All right. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set up on each of them. Now you got these disciples in this upper room. And there's about 120 of them in the upper room. Okay, so all right, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Watch, you see that? Jews, devout men, dwelling in Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem from where? All over the place. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, that the Holy Spirit had come down, this noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now, you start out with 120 in the upper room, the disciples, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues, okay? All right? Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own... Ain't that something? So what y'all are telling me by reading the Bible, it wasn't jibber-jabbering whatever. It was actually a known language. All these different people are converged upon. Let's give you an example so everybody can see it with their eyes. Dyersburg, we're having a big blowout, man. People are coming from Russia and France and China. No, we, you know, North Korea, all over the place. Everybody's coming, and they all speak different languages, okay? And they want me to, you know, the mayor wants me to preach the gospel to all these people. Well, guess what? I can't speak Chinese and Russian. Y'all with me? Spanish, French, whatever. All right? So let's just say I'm up there preaching. And I'm preaching, you know, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon me. And then people start hearing in their own language. And they're, hey, wouldn't that be something? Now, verse 7. And they were all amazed. Well, wonder why they all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now see, there's another key. These guys are Galileans. They don't know our language. How am I able to hear their sermon that they're preaching in the language that I just drove up here from? This is amazing. This is wonderful. How that these Galileans are able to communicate with me, and I'm from Portugal, and I'm sitting here listening to this man, no interpreter needed. He's speaking to me in my own language, and I'm getting the message. Is everybody with me? Okay. That's what's going on. Now, verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own what? Wherein we were born. Y'all see that? Okay, now watch. Verse 9. Here's all the people that were there. The Parthians, the Medes, and them, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia in Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus in Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Syria, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, without doing a long, you'll have to do your own research on this one, okay? Don't take my word for it. You just go do your own research. I've done mine. You look up all of those. There's about 15. About 15, I think, if I counted about right, about 14 or 15 nationalities right there. If you look them up and see who all speaks the same language, there's 12 languages that's needed to be spoke to minister all of these people. How many disciples are there? You've got these disciples that are speaking, and they're able to minister to everybody in Jerusalem because they're speaking, every one of them, in these all these dialects and these whatever. Does everybody see that? Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. Verse 12, and they were all amazed. And were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Verse 13, others mocking. Now these are the onlookers, the non-believers. They're mocking, saying, oh, these men are full of new wine. Now, you say, now how's that possible? Well, you think about it. If you went into, I don't know, somewhere, the mall, and some guy gets up on the bench there in the middle of the mall, and he's clearly Caucasian, and he's, you know, whatever, and this guy is start to speak, he's either speaking Spanish, Russian, French, African, and he's just, man, going to town. And we're going, man, you think this guy's okay? We need to call security. Is he all right? You with me? So these mockers are going, man, these guys are drunk. The other guys that understood them speak in their language were marveling, and they're hearing the wonderful works of God. All right. Of course, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early to get drunk. These guys are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're preaching. So, all right, the rest of chapter 2 is Peter's sermon. He preaches a sermon out of Joel chapter number 2, okay? And all of that that goes on. Now, here's my point that I'm trying to drive home in Acts chapter number 2. The tongues that are spoken in Acts 2 are a known language to somebody there. Are you with me? Let's just say we got Spanish folks over here and French folks over here, and I'm English, and I take half the service, and I'm speaking Spanish over here and speaking French over here. When I start speaking to these people, them people over there are going, he's speaking in an unknown tongue. But it's known to them. Vice versa. I'm speaking French over here. Y'all would say, he's speaking in an unknown tongue. But everybody over here says, he's speaking in a known tongue. That make sense? Okay. It's just simple Bible study. And I wish everybody could get it. Anyway. Now, let's look at, let's go to Acts chapter number 10. Let's go to Acts chapter number 10. Let's look at this for a second. Acts chapter number 10. We may not make it to 1 Corinthians yet, but anyway, Acts chapter number 10. Now, let me give you this real quick. Let's see, real quick. Tongues in the book of Acts is only mentioned in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. Only three places. Tongues in Acts 2, we just read them. Known languages, Acts 10 and Acts 19. Those are the only three places that tongues are mentioned in Acts. Tongues are mentioned once in 1 Corinthians chapter, 12, 13, and 14. None in Ephesians, none in Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, or Philemon. It quit. Because tongues are for a sign to who? The Jews. And after Acts 28, Paul goes strictly to the... Ain't that something? Wish people could see that. Now you get to Acts 10. When you get to Acts 10, Cornelius I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but let me give you the Cliff Note version. In Acts chapter number 10, Cornelius is a Gentile. He's like us. His whole house is Gentile. He's like us. Ready? And so here's the story. God tells Peter. Peter's on his housetop working. God says, Peter, go to Cornelius' house and preach to them. Peter says, I ain't going to that. There's a bunch of Gentiles. I ain't going to their house. We don't associate with them. I ain't going. God said, yeah, you're going. So Peter has a complex about Gentiles, and the Jews are up here, and the Gentiles are down here, and surely the Gentiles can't be saved. Surely they can't. You know. Watch. So Peter goes to their house. Long story short, Peter preaches unto them, and so on and so forth. Verse 34, watch what Peter says after all of this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. It looks like God is about to do something with these Gentiles like he is with us. The body of Christ is Jew, Gentile, bond, or free. We're all in one body. Peter hadn't figured it out yet. He thinks he's the Long Ranger over here, and the Gentiles can't get in, but God is going to show him the Gentiles are getting in. Now watch. I'm fast-forwarding the story. Peter's preaching. He says, man, I think God is no respecter of persons anymore. 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. All of them were Gentiles. And they of the circumcision. Now the circumcision is Jews. You with me? Circumcision is Jews. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Peter's Jew. He's of the circumcision. And everybody that came with Peter was of the circumcision. They're all astonished. Because all these Gentiles, the Holy Ghost has done fell on them after Peter's done preached the word. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter's like, man, there's a change going on. I'm preaching to them, and these Gentiles now are getting the Holy Ghost like we got it in Acts 2. All them Jews got it in Acts 2. Remember, we just read it. Well, now in Acts 10, verse 46. And they, the Jews, heard them, the Gentiles, speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water and so on and so forth to baptize, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Right, let me give you the picture. Okay? Let me get back to my verse. All right. Peter goes to Gentiles, right? Peter don't believe Gentiles can be saved. Okay? God says, go preach to them. Peter says, I don't want to go. You have to read the whole chapter 10. He says, I don't want to go. God convinced him to go. He goes. And he preaches them the word. After he preaches the word, they get the Holy Ghost. They get the Holy Ghost just like the Jews did in Acts 2. And they begin to speak with tongues. Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a sign. If those Gentiles wouldn't have spoken in tongues, Peter would have never believed that they got it. Peter had to see it. Tongues are for a sign. Jews require a sign. Holy Ghost falls upon them, and they begin to speak in tongues like they did in Acts 2. And Peter's like, they got it. Don't understand it. Don't know what God's trying to do. But I perceive that God's no longer a respecter of persons anymore. Does everybody see that? Tongues are for a sign. And Jews require a sign. So God gives those Cornelius, those Gentiles, the ability to speak with tongues so Peter will know that they got it just like they did. Isn't that something? Well, all right, let's see. Y'all got time for a little more? All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians real quick. I'll carry on with this. Next time. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll look at this real quick, hopefully. And if I butcher it and go too fast, then we'll come back and slow her down next time. And I skipped Acts 19, but the same deal. They had to speak in tongues so the Jews would know that they got it. Then you got tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and that's it. So in one night, I'm telling you, 2, 10, 19 of Acts, 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, boom, and that's it. All right, look at, let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, say people, I would not have you ignorant, you know, that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speak by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. Diversities, differences. There are different gifts. Verse 5. Let me finish reading 4. For there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration. Notice how diversities and differences are used interchangeably. That gives you the definition. What's diversities? Differences. What's differences? Diversities. There we go. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit of all. Now, there's different gifts, there's different administration, different operations, but the same Spirit. Now watch. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. What do we know tongues as? Languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues, those languages. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Watch what this does. The gifts of the Spirit. He starts saying, to one is given this. To one is given this. To some is given this. Everybody don't have all of them. Y'all see that? Everybody don't have the same gifts. And then, let's see, he goes into verse 12, and he starts comparing it to a body. Everybody in here is not an eyeball, right? Everybody in here is not a left hand. Everybody's not in a right hand or left foot. Everybody has different works and different purposes to make up a body. And those body parts have to work together. The eyesight, the judgment, has to work with the foot. If you come up on a red light, the foot's got to know when to press on the gas according to what the eye is telling the foot, how far and how close it is. If it's yellow, that means speed up. Oh, my goodness. Slow crowd on Wednesday night. It's all right. But he compares all the spiritual gifts to a body. Somebody's the ear, somebody's the eye, somebody's the nose, somebody's the mouth, you know. Somebody's the neck, somebody's the arm, whatever. But everybody can't be an arm, everybody can't be an eye, everybody can't, right? So that means that everybody don't get the gift of speaking in other tongues. Now, why is it that I have been told that once you get saved, you're supposed to seek, and if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost? You ever heard that? Well, according to 1 Corinthians, everybody's not supposed to. Just reading the Bible. You're reading the Bible. That's all we're doing. Now, let's bypass all the body stuff. I just explained all of that. Let's see. Oh, look here. Our verse 28 of 12. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Watch verse 29. Ready? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? What's the answer? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Then why have I been told that I have to get the Spirit? You see where I'm going? Do all have them? No. Well, if all don't have them, do all interpret? No. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, best gifts. Paul, are you trying to tell me that there are some gifts are better than others? Paul says covet. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's stuff. But Paul says, covet, desire, want the best gifts. So if there's best gifts, then there are not best gifts. Make sense? Just studying the Bible. But why is it that everybody wants just that one gift? Everybody don't want to be able to discern the spirits, which they need that desperately to be able to discern the spirit. Everybody wants to, we're fixing to find out why, if I have time. I don't think I do. But verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, next time when we get together, I'm going to stop there, because if I get into this, it's going to be long. Chapter 13 is very short, only 13 verses. And basically what 13 says is you are to desire charity over anything else. If somebody speaks in tongues and they don't have charity, it's like pots and pans beating together. It's like a kid sitting in the kitchen floor beating on a pot and pan. It's distracting and it's loud. And that goes for any gift. A person gets up to sing and they don't have charity, it's like beating on pots and pans. A person that gets, you know, whatever. So charity is something we should desire to have. Anyway, and then verse chapter 14. Not going to start it tonight because, like I said, but you don't want to miss next time, because I'm fixing to show you in chapter 14 the requirements Paul laid out, and you will not believe it. I got time to show you one, don't I? Verse 27 of 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 27. This right here is going to make you lay up in all night long. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, now that's not gibberish. We've already discovered what the word unknown means. It's unknown to somebody, but it's known to the somebody. You with me? You said, preacher, can you prove that? Well, I think I can. I think I can. Acts 17. For as I passed by, Paul's talking to these folks, and beheld your devotions, I found an altar. I found an altar that y'all pray to with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. Paul says, I came into your pagan city. I found one of your little altars that you pray to, and on the side of it you had inscribed to the unknown God. You might not know him, Paul says, but I do. He's unknown to some, but he's known to us. You see that? Definition. Bible will define itself. So when it says in chapter 14, an unknown tongue, it may be unknown to some, but it's a language known to somebody. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. That means one at a time. That means the two or three can't speak at the same time. They have to do it one at a time. And let one do what? But if there be no interpreter, let him let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Y'all see that? Now, I've sung in a bunch of places. Charlie, you have too. And we've experienced some crazy things. But I've never seen anybody do it like you're supposed to. Everybody's doing it at the same time, and I'm sitting there scratching my head going, you know, it's time to go to the bathroom. Not a soul interprets nothing. I'm confused. And God's not the author of... Now, that's just one requirement. Wait till you see the rest of them.